Hey, hello. Welcome to the VC Edu Task Force call on Monday, April 18th. Today, we are going to be discussing credential display in the wallets, including PDFs, and also a quick touch base on VC and VC Edu governance. Before we get started, let's start with the IP note. Anyone can participate in these calls. Everyone is welcome. However, any substantive contributors to any of the CCG work items, including this task force, must be done by members of the CCG with full IPR agreements signed. And you can learn more about this at this link that I'm going to put in the chat right now. Okay, for call notes, these minutes, well, these meetings are recorded. There's an audio recording done for every call, as much as we can do this, but they're also transcribed, by the robot overlords. And you will see in the chat, the job that they are doing as we speak. If you see that there is anything, that could be corrected, that's being transcribed improperly, please, do us a favor. And if you see it, do a substitution in the chat, and you can do that by typing s/ phrase to fix or word, and then the fix phrase. And I'll put that in the chat as an example. I'm sure that as I speak, robot overlords and I don't always get along well, so I'm sure we will see lots of examples of that. Please note that we do use a queue system in these calls. So if you have something to say or a question to say, please type Q, the letter Q and a plus sign. That will add you to the queue. And if you feel as though you've changed your mind, you can type Q minus and it will remove you from the queue. By doing this, we will we will check the queue and then call on you in order. Okay, why don't we see first, is there anyone here who's new to the call or who'd like to make an introduction of themselves today, or anyone who's been in the call for a while and would like to reintroduce themselves or have some news to share? Dimitri, you're in the queue.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
All right. So, yeah, I thought I'd do a quick reintroduction. Only because one of my hats has changed, so I have recently reduced my work with Digital Bazaar, though I'm still in close collaboration with the Digital Bazaar team, and have stepped up my involvement in virtual reality and augmented reality. So I'm still doing the same things, verifiable credentials, web wallets, decentralized identifiers, secure storage, just bringing that toolbox to the AR/VR world. I'm still also involved in Digital Credentials Consortium and the Learner Wallet there. So that's it.
Thanks, Dimitri. That sounds incredibly exciting. That's awesome. Hey, anybody else would like to make an introduction or update us on your current work? Okay. So next, we have announcements and reminders. Keep in mind that every Tuesday at noon Eastern is the CCG call. And that is always worth checking out if you have time to do so, to stay up to date on what is going on overall in this community. Also, next week is the Internet Identity Workshop. And that starts on Tuesday. It's Tuesday through Wednesday. Or is it just Tuesday and Wednesday, I think? But it's next week, and that means that we will not have a call next week. So next Monday, there will be no VC Edu call. I'll send an email reminder out, but I just want to let you know that we're going to skip next week because some of us will be at that meeting and won't be able to do this as well, or we'll be traveling that day. Okay. Let me just check the queue here, see if we have anything else going on. Oh, it sold out. Incredible. Thank you. So before we get started with James, we have James Chartrand here, who's been doing some interesting work on PDFs as VCs. He's here from McMaster University, and I'm just going to fill us in on that work. You may have seen some descriptions of this in the mailing list, and we thought it would make a lot of sense to ask him to come tell us and at VC Edu, how they've gone about doing this. PDFs is something that Open Badges has discussed for a long time. It also has come up quite a bit in this community before. There's a whole lot of reasons to use PDFs in education. They're a well-understood format and can be secured and have embedded data and such, as James will tell you. And then we're going to talk more about credential display and wallets. And I'm going to ask Dimitri to just help lead that discussion too, because he has some things in mind. But before we get started, if you don't mind, I wanted to ask you all to take a look at this Miro board that I'm going to put in the chat, and I will share my screen. So one thing that we have been talking about or thinking about a lot is what is governance, right? What is governance in this space? And there's a lot of misconceptions and a lot of questions. And I really hope to be able to push on this topic more at the IIW next week. And so I'm hoping that I could do some research with folks in this community before we go to see what kind of assumptions and questions and understandings that you have about what governance is. So although I'm not a huge fan of Miro, I feel like this is a good place to do this because you can write whatever you'd like whenever you want. If you feel as though we need another section other than assumptions and questions, go ahead and create that. You can do what you want with this board, and then we'll take a look at it at the end of the week or early next week and see what we're learning in here and what questions and assumptions we should be addressing. And before I move on, I just sort of want to check in to see if anybody would like to talk about that now, or if anyone has any questions about this or any sort of like assumptions and questions you'd like to bring up right now before we even get into our main topic. Okay. Yeah, well, I will start an email thread on this later today, and then feel free to respond to that and add whatever you'd like to this board. Also, feel free to reach out to me directly if you'd like to just talk about it some more. I don't have a lot of understanding of what governance is. I've seen it implemented in various ways, and I've heard of some really interesting ideas about registries and things of that nature. I've also heard a lot of confusion between what accreditation is and what VC governance is. And so I thought it would be a good idea for us to really gather as many questions and assumptions as we could so we can start tackling this over the next couple of months. Okay, the queue is empty. So James, I'd like to invite you to participate and present what you have for us. I will stop sharing my screen so you can do that.
Super. Thank you.
How you doing, James? Nice to see you.
I'm good. Yeah.
One thing you might want to do, James, is turn off your video because we've been having some problems with memory issues with Jitsi, and I'd love to record as much of this as possible. So.
Yeah, I just turned it on for a sec so people could see what I look like.
Awesome. Nice. Thank you.
Sure. So share my screen. Sorry, looks like I'm having to go through and grant permissions. I'm going to have to restart, but I will be right back.
Okay. Dimitri, while we're waiting for James to come back, do you want to sort of approach the subject of, credentials, displays, and wallets?
Sure, yeah. So in VC EDU here, we've got two pressing problems that we need to solve. We've got two pain points. One is, so we have these verifiable credentials that are going to be displayed in wallets, but we also would like to be able to bind them to more traditional display artifacts such as PDFs. And that's what James is going to be talking about. And then the second one is also on the subject of display, slightly different, somewhat related. We want issuers to be able to specify exactly, or at least advise, to wallets, verifiers, and other software how to display the credential. Because at the moment, every single wallet, every single piece of software uses its own, in the VC world, uses its own layout. Now, there have been precedents in, for example, Open Badges and some other VC projects that have used things like embedded images to specify how the credential should be displayed. And that's the other topic that we'd like to touch on today. But James is back, so over to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so maybe I'll just give a very quick bit of background. So this is a project at McMaster University, and it's a joint project between the Faculty of Engineering and the Office of the Registrar there. They got into SSI a couple of years ago and started out with block certs, so kind of one of the precursors to, I guess, verifiable credentials. And we, at the time, started out with a relatively small pilot, something like 50 students, where we issued certificates, so not degrees. And they were issued to the students as a batch and went into the block certs wallet, and that's where the student held the certificate, and they would share it from there, and it was all JSON. That went very well. We then went and decided to do degrees, so issued for a very small cohort of students, maybe 50 students in the Faculty of Engineering, their actual degrees. Again, they lived in the block certs wallet, and the students shared them from there. That also went very well. And then when COVID hit, the registrar thought, when COVID hit, there were a lot of problems distributing. Well, there were all sorts of problems, but among them was distributing the degrees, the paper copies of degrees to students. So rather than mail out all of the copies, the university decided to also offer the option to get the digital copy, the block certs, and they opened that up to everybody within the university. And remarkably, that went very well as well. And there was massive uptake. It was 80-something percent of students chose to download a copy of their degree. Everybody was super happy with it. Block certs was great. But at that time, as a result of our work, we kind of got introduced to the DCC and eventually joined the DCC. And from there, we're introduced to verifiable credentials and decentralized identifiers, and so wanted to move from our prior block cert system to verifiable credentials and decentralized identifiers. We also wanted to move off of the Bitcoin blockchain, which is where our block cert system anchored hashes of the credentials. And we wanted to move off for a couple of reasons. One is GDPR and similar kinds of privacy laws, where it's not entirely clear, but it seems at times as though even hashes aren't allowed on a blockchain. For us with the degrees, it was fine because the degree information is public information. And so the fact that somebody got a degree from McMaster is public information. And so, you know, we thought it was decided that that was okay to put that up permanently on the Bitcoin blockchain, even though it was just a hash. Anyhow, also wanted to get off the Bitcoin blockchain because we wanted to move from a batch issuance, which is what we were doing with block certs, where, you know, the entire cohort at graduation time, so 1,000 students, whatever, would all get their degrees at once, you know, and it was all a Merkle. All the credentials were hashed together into a Merkle, and the Merkle was put up on the Bitcoin blockchain. And so that made it, you know, affordable. But with rising transaction costs on blockchains like Bitcoin, and the fact that we wanted to move to an on-demand issuance system where a student could request and get their degree immediately. But if we were to anchor every one of those on the Bitcoin blockchain, the costs would likely become exorbitant. So anyhow, we wanted to move to verifiable credentials, decentralized identifiers, talk to the registrar, thought maybe we should start with a pilot again. She suggested, this is Melissa Poole, is the registrar at McMaster, very forward-thinking registrar. She suggested that we take a look at letters that the registrar's office issues to students to confirm basically student status in different ways. So like the letter that you see up there on the left, which confirms the enrollment details for a student. So these are letters that students use, say, when they're applying for a job, if the letter says that they've earned their degree. They are also used for things like getting a student bank account, freeing up money from your student savings plan, or incoming foreign students might use one of these letters when they're applying for a visa coming into the country. And so we thought, great. And initially we thought, okay, we'll just do it the same way. We'll issue JSON copies. So, you know, the actual verifiable credential as JSON to the student, and it will live in a wallet. But we, in talking to some of the people in the registrar's office, realized that that just wasn't feasible because these letters are often, they pretty much need to be PDFs because of how they're used. So in some cases, they're uploaded as part of an application process. Say if you are applying for a visa and you need to upload a letter confirming your status, the system will only take, you know, an image or a PDF, and that's later reviewed by somebody who looks at it. So if it had been JSON, they wouldn't, you know, it would be nonsensical to them and they wouldn't know what to do with it. Also, sometimes the letters do need to be printed off and handed to somebody, like, say, when a foreign student is arriving in the country, and the way it works in Canada is you process your visa application as you step off the airplane. So typically you've got all your papers, you know, in a folder, and you present them to the agent. The agent goes through them and reviews them and decides yay or nay. So it had to be printable as a paper copy. Okay, so I will take you very quickly through what we've built here. This is totally integrated into the Microsoft Azure authentication system on campus and draws data from a back-end PeopleSoft system. So I'm going to go to this web browser over on the right. This is where the student would arrive. This, again, is just a pilot. Nothing here is in production, and the dire warnings there are because, rightfully so, the registrar is concerned that, you know, we don't want anybody to think that this is the system that's being used at McMaster University, because then you could imagine scenarios like a student arriving at the border agent, and the border agent thinks that they should be getting a copy of a letter like this with a QR, you know, and then doesn't accept one without a QR. So we're being extra careful not to make anyone think that this is a production system. Okay. Anyhow, so I am here. I'm a student. I will log in. I will request a letter. We've got the registrar chose four different letters. I'll choose confirmation of status. So that kicked off a dynamic process in the background. It pulls the information from the PeopleSoft system based on the student login ID, assembles the PDF letter. I'm using, I think, JS PDF, some kind of JavaScript PDF library to construct it on the fly, insert the information. At the same time, I turn the information into put the information into a verifiable credential, then into a verifiable presentation, then use Digital Bazaar's amazing libraries and VPQR to produce the QR code, which I then insert into the PDF, which you can see down in the bottom right-hand corner of the letter on the left-hand side, and then return it to the student. So it's been downloaded and it's in my downloads there. I will show you and so anyhow, it corresponds exactly to the letter that you see on the left here. Now, the student can, of course, take this letter, print it out. They can email it to somebody. They can text message it to somebody. They can do whatever they want to with it. They can use it as many times as they want to. So say they've emailed it to me and I'm an employer. I can come to this website, credentialsonicmaster.ca. I pretty much have to know in advance that that's the website to which I should go. And of course, you know, I'm sure people rightfully point out here that there are significant problems with this. Among them are that somebody can fake the verification website, but I think that's a general problem. In any case, assuming I know to go to credentials.mcmaster.ca, I arrive there, I choose verify letter, I will choose to upload a letter file, I choose the file, upload, and it does its verification on, you know, the usual way, extracting the VC from the QR and then doing the verification. One kind of interesting thing that happened there is that what the code did, and first of all, that code is running entirely in the web browser. There was no call back to the server there. So it was another JavaScript library that took the PDF, opened it up, found the QR image inside the PDF, and then from there invoked the Digital Bazaar libraries to extract the VC and run the normal verification. Okay, so that was one kind of verification. Now I will show you, I've got a printed copy of that letter that's sitting on my desk here, and I've got my phone hooked up, which you can see on the left. So I'm going to go over here to my phone, and it's the same web page. This time I will choose verify letter again, and I will choose scan QR on letter. Allow. And again, it verified exactly the same way. And that's it. It's a super simple system, which, you know, we kind of think is one of the appealing parts of it. It's dead simple. So extremely easy to use. Some of the challenges that we still face, or that I guess we face, are somebody could fake the PDF. So they could change some of the details that are within the PDF. We kind of deal with that a little bit by virtue of the fact that what's in the VC that's in that QR code contains the critical information that somebody would want to verify. So up there on the left in my phone, you can see that down below it says undefined because we're blanking out student information for this. Anyhow, it says is registered at McMaster University as a full-time undergraduate student for the 2020 term. So it only shows there what was inside the verifiable credentials. So what had been signed, and, you know, doesn't show what was in the PDF necessarily. I mean, it is what's in the PDF, but it's only what was in the verifiable credential and confirmed. But of course, somebody could fake the entire PDF and they could put a fake QR code on there and they could provide a fake link. And if somebody didn't know to go to the McMaster webpage to verify this, they could very easily be fooled. The other thing that we would very much like to do is to start to move from these letters towards something more like a student ID. Because what we've got here is effectively a student ID. I mean, it declares the student status, but we'd like to take it, you know, a little step further and start to use it within a wallet like the DCC wallet as a replacement for the plastic student card. In which case we would have to put more information into it, and in particular would have to put a student photo into it. And at that point, the verifiable credential would be too big to fit inside a QR code. So this is where I think Dimitri was talking about this a little bit before I got started, that, you know, we need to start to think about how we can transfer some of that information. And one way is maybe to create a kind of ephemeral storage for the full VC. And the QR code simply points to that storage, and it might be encrypted as well, and we pass the key to the verifier. So anyhow, different kinds of things